KBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News,
app.
I'm Morgan Norwood. A date's now set for former President Donald Trump to stand trial on charges he mishandled classified documents. A court filing shows it'll be May 20th of next year at federal court in Fort Pierce, Florida. Trump still faces a possible indictment after receiving a target letter in the investigation into his role on January 6th.
Sources tell ABC News that in that target letter, three federal crimes were mentioned as possible charges against Trump. Conspiracy to commit an offense against or to defraud the United States, obstruction of an official proceeding, and conspiracy to deprive people of rights. That's a civil rights statute that the Justice Department manual for prosecutors says, quote, should be considered when addressing schemes to thwart voting in federal elections.
ABC's Terry Moran. The State Department confirming two high-level officials, the U.S. ambassador to China and the Assistant Secretary for East Asia, had their email breached by Chinese hackers, but no classified material was believed to be stolen. This is ABC News. The blistering heat isn't just in the U.S. Soaring temperatures are baking millions of people around the world, including Greece, where monster wildfires are growing. In Los Angeles, a Texas man will be arraigned in federal court on charges of kidnapping a teen in San Antonio earlier this month. Good Samaritans are credited with saving her.
During a three-day drive from Texas to California, Stephen Robert Sablin is accused of sexually assaulting the 13-year-old several times at gunpoint. At a Long Beach, California laundromat, Sablin took a load of clothing inside and left the girl in the car, where she scrawled, "Help me," on a piece of paper and showed it to people passing by. Police arrived and arrested the 61-year-old Sablin. In the car, they found the teenager unhurt, along with the note and the gun, which turned out to be a fake. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
The U.S. women's soccer team starts its quest for a World Cup three-peat tonight against Vietnam. It's the first time the teams have played each other. Kickoff in New Zealand happens at 9 p.m. Eastern. Morgan Norwood, ABC News.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know. A 78-year-old woman was killed in a two-car crash in O'Connell County. The incident happened Wednesday afternoon around 4:45 in a construction zone in Little Suamico on Highway 41. The O'Connell County Sheriff's Office says an SUV driven by a 70-year-old man was going too fast and crashed into another car that had slowed down as it was trying to merge. Both cars slammed into the median. The SUV had three other people, one of which was the victim, who was taken to the hospital where she passed away. No other injuries were reported, and the investigation is active.
The Fond du Lac Police Department is investigating the death of a prisoner at Taycheedah Correctional Institution. According to the Department of Corrections, 68-year-old Cindy Schulz Yedis was found unresponsive in her cell. Authorities were unable to revive her. Yedis was serving a life sentence for her husband's murder back in 2006.
Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
The Devil's Advocates Radio.
The entire light beer industry is under attack from the right at this time. Apparently, that they no longer have women in bikinis selling the beer.
I would suggest, and this is on the Fox Entertainment Network.
I believe it's the Fox News. Well,
well, I just hope I don't get to the Captain Morgan and Diet Cokes, man. That'd be a sad day.
The Devil's Advocates Radio with Dom and Crute. Weekdays 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A guy named Bill out in Econowoc. Bill's got some thoughts on that.
Thanks for talking about what you're talking about right now. Your station, you raised the bar high for integrity. You are a community radio station, which means you look out for all the citizens in the state of Wisconsin.
Daily conversations about Wisconsin's latest headlines and stories. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold. 1993 to 1999. And again, 2001 to 2003. 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats. And there's more to life than football. You're about to find out. Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown. Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW. And on the Civic Media app.
That's what we like to do on this show. Find the comedy gold.
I just like non-fungible as a word.
It is a good word.
It's a wonderful, it just has a good mouth feel.
La-di-da, la-di-da, la-la.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the 11 o'clock hour of our Friday show of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry, along with Jane Matinair. And I am very excited for this next topic because as of this week, it's become personal. I went in on Monday because my lease for my VW Tiguan is coming up. And so I wanted to go in and I got it serviced and I wanted to look at what my options were for trading it in. And the salesperson was really pushing their electric vehicle. And I was very open to it, although it is much, even with the $7,500 rebate, it was a lot more expensive. And so I am now weighing my options, but we already had this interview scheduled, so I'm excited to talk to him about it. Gregory Emmett is a professor of public affairs, where his research focuses on understanding the process of technological change and the ways in which public policy can affect it. Welcome to the show, Gregory.
Thank you, Kristen. It's good to be here, especially with a topic that's so close to your
life choices. And so, so you focus on at the UW School of Public Affairs at Madison, public affairs, on the policy, how policies affect technological change, right? And it feels a lot right now, at least when you read the headlines, that like the government really wants you to buy an electric vehicle. And in between the kind of the carrots and sticks of incentives for automobile makers, for us as consumers. So what kind of is all out there right now of policy trying to convince people to make the switch?
Yeah, I mean, I guess maybe I'd just start with the motivation for it. So the motivation for it is to find a way to reduce the health impacts of air pollution and to help the long-term damage from climate change that comes from combusting fossil fuels. And that there's no way around that with an internal combustion engine. You can get more efficient, but if we're trying to get it cleaned up completely, which is really what we need to do and what we agreed to do about 8 years ago, then we need something that's different, that's clean. And that's where electric vehicles come in. And so that's been a big push by the Biden administration. And about 1 year ago, the Inflation Reduction Act was passed, which includes a variety of measures, but one of them was to create incentives for helping people adopt electric vehicles. And so what's available today is a $7,500 tax credit. So that means you figure out what your tax liability is, and at the end of the year, you minus $7,500. If that vehicle that you're buying is an electric vehicle, and if it has enough domestic content, that means at least 50% of it was manufactured in the US and that the materials were sourced from sustainable places as well. And then if it doesn't meet one of those, then you get half of that credit. So yeah, that's what we're looking for. We're looking at from the policy today.
And that's on the consumer side. Is there stuff that's happening as far as, you know, gas emissions and stuff for like for automakers, as far as what they are incentivized to build and keep innovating on?
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple things for automakers. One is we've got what we've had since the 1970s, which is the corporate average fuel economy standards, which have gotten much higher. And so this fits into that and to requiring them to build more efficient cars. But what we really got in a big way in the last year are these incentives to start to build manufacturing in the US, both for batteries and for electric vehicles. So, you know, Ford is just, I think, getting a $10 billion loan to start to develop its electric vehicle manufacturing. There's a lot of vehicle manufacturing happening in the Midwest and especially in the Southeast as well. So on the supplier side for manufacturers, there's a lot of goodies for them as well. And the motivation is that, okay, we need to make this transition. We want to create jobs and we want a lot of it to be domestically sourced as well. And that's a big motivator behind behind some of those policies too.
And so with kind of where we are today, I feel like there's more and more people who are driving an electric vehicle. And I would say from my personal experience of looking at the prices, like it was the first time I think like I've been someone who's already on board of like, I want to eventually make the switch. I drove the Volkswagen option. It was a very nice car. It's much nicer than the one that I'm driving right now. But then also they gave me, even with like the rebates in there, the difference of what my monthly payments would be for this new car versus if I got another Tiguan. And it's it's still more money than what I'm paying in gas right now. And so like, where do we have to go for like people who are like me who want, it's not like I'm skeptical of electric cars. I'm not scared that like, it's going to run out of a charge and I'm going to get stranded. Like I want to, but financially it's still more expensive than I'm like, ugh, can I justify this?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think what you need to look at, I'm not saying you need to look at it.
Yes, but one could look at
is the total cost of ownership, which includes what you're talking about, the upfront purchase of it, and maybe spread over 5 years on a lease or a car loan. But there's much more to it. If you think of the total cost of owning a vehicle, which is, you know, on the order of $10,000 a year, it includes fueling it and maintenance. Those are big costs. And those are ones that are much, much lower for electric vehicles. So the fuel costs are just electricity, which is far, far cheaper than filling it with gas, and also not susceptible to the volatility that we've seen in the past, where when fuel goes up to $4 a gallon and spending 60 or 70 bucks or more to fill up a gas tank, you don't have that with an electric vehicle, and you don't have that over 5 to 10 years of owning the vehicle. So that's where a lot of the savings come. And then the maintenance is way, way lower for electric vehicles.
There's
just fewer parts.
That's
a big difference. And so that's, so, you know, that's where you need to think about how do those all balance out. And then that's where we start to see that electric vehicles make a lot of financial sense, even if you don't take into account the risks of fuel costs going up, the health impacts that you avoid, and that they are pretty fun to drive. From my own personal
experience, quiet.
It's weirdly quiet. It's just so Jetsons-like. Our guest is Gregory Nemeth. He's a professor of public affairs at UW-Madison. We're talking about electric vehicles. My husband got one about 2 months ago, but we had installed the right system in the garage so he can charge it at home. So that's another cost that you have to kind of build in if you're going to do this.
Right. Yeah. You can just plug it in with an extension cord, but to really charge it, you need to put in a higher voltage thing like you would for a laundry dryer where you need that higher voltage to get more of a charge. Yep.
So from a policies perspective, what else do you think needs to happen as far as to continue to push consumers or automakers? Like what's the next step?
Two things I would say. So first of all, we should be clear that the costs have been going down rapidly on batteries for electric vehicles. So a battery pack that now costs $4,000 in a car 10 years ago cost $40,000. And there were people that were paying that, but you don't have to pay that. And it continues to go down. So that goes in our favor without policy. It's just that the costs are coming down. And then second, the federal government has done a lot on the manufacturing incentives and then the consumer tax credits. What states that are really showing a lot of adoption of electric vehicles also have state level policies where the states are getting ahead of things in terms of building charging infrastructure. And then some have additional incentives as well. And I think that's something that we might look to the Wisconsin Public Service Commission and the electric utilities in our state to say, okay, now transportation is becoming an electricity business. And so we can support that by perhaps providing more incentives, but certainly providing the infrastructure in the same way that we provide hookups to people's homes with electricity and roads for people to drive. So providing charging infrastructure is going to make adoption progress as well. But that'll come. It's just a matter of whether it comes quickly or slowly, but we need it to come quickly to get the full benefits of this transition.
Because I would say that was one of the selling points of, like, there are like apps now where you can look up like, where is there a charging station? And not surprisingly, around Milwaukee and Madison, there's a lot. But I needed to know, is there one near Wisconsin Rapids so I don't get stuck in Wisconsin Rapids when I'm visiting my parents? And there is. There's one in Wisconsin Rapids and there's one in Stevens Point. So I was like, all right, well, like that's, I know that that's usually the furthest I ever have to drive and it's there. And so it's like, but you need to be able to check those things. And so my last question is, you wrote a book called How Solar Became Cheap, A Model for Low Carbon Innovation. And so as you're looking at what happened with solar and what continues to happen with solar, what are some of the lessons that you think, is there a lot of similarities with electric vehicles? Are they two different beasts, or kind of what lessons can be applied?
Yeah, great question. Huge similarities. So to me, this is the biggest source of optimism I have about dealing with energy problems, is this innovation and cost reductions and performance improvements we're seeing in solar and wind power and electric vehicles and the batteries for electric vehicles. And it's a lot of the same policies that have done it. It means including supporting research and developing new battery chemistries. For example, we're moving away from cobalt right now to lithium, iron, and phosphate so that we don't have to have kids employed in the Congo digging it out with their hands. So we're not using cobalt to a large extent because we've got this new science. So that's really helped manufacturing so that we can get the scale we need to get the cost down. That worked in solar, and people are using the same playbook for electric vehicles, and then getting consumers on board with a technology that seems appealing to them. They talk to their neighbors, they learn from their neighbors, you start to develop dealer networks, you start to have an infrastructure that makes it easy. And so it's really the early adopters, people that got electric vehicles 5 or 10 years ago, that did the hard part. Today, people like yourself are kind of in the intermediate and starting to make things move. And pretty soon we'll have 50% of people buying electric vehicles, which is the administration's goal for 2030.
What is your final question? What is your prediction as far as like what you think will get to like 50% of car owners will be in EVs?
The goal is 2030. I think we're on our way to that. And I think the policies are in place to do that, and the technology is improving. And I think as people learn how they work and see their neighbors do it, it'll go fast. And that's what happened in solar and other things as well. So, I'm optimistic about
that. Another optimist.
I know.
They're out there. It's you got to find them. They're out there.
So much optimism in one day.
Because I will say, I'll give you a shout out for your op-ed for the Journal Sentinel, where it was new technologies, policies, and global commitments give reason for optimism this Earth Day. See, we like optimists here, or at least I do.
Me too.
Gregory Devitt is a professor of public affairs at UW-Madison. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Kristen. You too. Goodbye.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. Stick around. This is Ask Us Wisconsin.
And if I never had a cent, I'd be rich as Harry Belafonte, with Barry Goldwater at my feet on the sunny
Attention, Wisconsin veterans.
Hello, I'm Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin. If you are a veteran struggling to pay for rent, utilities, or other life-sustaining services, I want you to know that the Veterans Rental Assistance Program is here to help. You have already made a most noble sacrifice. You shouldn't have to continue doing so. We are here to support you. The Veterans Rental Assistance Program was created by and for people living in Wisconsin, with benefit approvals being issued to veterans in just days, not months. It's never easy to ask for assistance, but rest assured, we're here to help. You've always been there for us, We want you to know that we're here for you. Call 833-WISBRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Or visit VRAPWI.com. On behalf of the state of Wisconsin, thank you.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Here's your updated forecast. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms this afternoon. Otherwise, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. High of 82, northerly winds, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Tonight, lows around 58, partly cloudy. Partly cloudy skies. Tomorrow, chance for scattered storms. Highs around 82. Low 80s, Sunday, with a chance for scattered storms. Mid 80s, partly cloudy skies. Monday, for Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 80.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on WGBW.
Out of the tree of life, I just picked me a plum. You came along and everything started.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And this is As Goes Wisconsin on Friday in the second half of July.
I know.
I can't believe it.
I can't either. We're almost in August.
We're almost in August. Wednesday I'll be 30 weeks pregnant.
Wow.
Like, we're getting very close.
Are you nervous?
I'm not nervous. I'm very excited, but we've had a very busy summer. Like, every weekend, like this weekend, we're going up to Lac des Flambeaux. And the next weekend, we're in town, but there's like festival. Then the following weekend in Milwaukee is like German Fest, River West 24. Yeah. Like, it's one of those weekends where it was like kind of how this last weekend was with Harley.
Yep.
And Bastille Days and everything. And then the weekend after that is Mike's 40th birthday. We're going to Vegas. That's like my last trip. And so then it's like we have a lot to do. I don't know when we're going to do it. It's like, oh, geez.
Well, she's coming whether you're ready or not.
She is. That is true. My brother came yesterday.
Was he surprised by your bump?
Well, he'd seen it before, but the way he greeted me was, God, you just keep getting bigger, huh?
Oh,
and I was like, that's typically how it works, Ben.
And that's a good thing.
And I was like, yeah, exactly. I was like, I'm pretty sure I'm not supposed to get smaller until she gets here.
that's a good thing.
And so, but speaking of your weekend, you're going to be at the farmer's market tomorrow.
I am. I'm going to be out at the Waukesha Farmer's Market from 8 until noon. So please stop by and say hello. We usually have candy for the kids. I'll have Tootsie Pops.
Ooh.
Not Tootsie Rolls. Tootsie Pops, which are
superior.
Hugely popular.
Oh.
Hugely.
What's your favorite flavor?
Cherry.
Cherry. Is it grape? Are the purple blue ones grape?
Yeah, basically? I would say grape. Yes.
I was thinking about this the other day, how grape flavoring, is there any fruit flavor that is more dissimilar to the actual fruit it represents
than grape?
Like, eating a grape is a very different flavor than grape-flavored things.
And even red grapes.
Even red grapes. Yeah. But, like, that's not the case for strawberries or peaches or what? Like, almost
or orange.
Or, like, almost every other flavor. Like, this is certainly true. There's, like, enhanced and there's more sugar and stuff. But, like, grape flavoring is just a totally different thing than what a grape tastes like.
There's our niche, Kristen. There's our niche. We'll find a true grape flavoring.
Because real, like, grapes actually don't have a lot of flavor.
Not really. They're a little sweet.
They're a little sweet, but I feel like you eat them for people who like that, at least for me, it's like their texture is, you pop in your mouth and, you know, but it's not because the flavor is distinct, I think, right?
Well, I don't, I mean,
they're kind of neutral flavor. Like, they're not.
But I agree that there is not a true grape flavoring. That's because I always think of Welch's grape juice, and that's nothing like the way grapes taste.
No. It's so, yeah.
So anyway, stop by tomorrow at the farmer's market, and I'll give you a purple one. And you can tell me what you think it tastes like. And also, if you stop by tomorrow, I will show you the place to get the scone that will change the course of your life.
What is it, the bacon scone?
It's a bacon and maple scone. It is the most, it's so good. It's just, woo.
Who makes it?
I can't remember.
Well, you'll have to, you'll let us know on Monday.
I'll tell you Monday, because I'm going to go introduce myself tomorrow. So come and see me tomorrow, Farmer's Market, Waukesha. It's really wonderful. You name it, pottery and some jewelry and, of course, produce and flowers and all that stuff. And it's a lot of fun. So come out and see me tomorrow from 8 to noon.
And then I think I'm joining you August 12th.
Yes.
I'll finally make it to be a weekend that we're in town.
One weekend, I'll be even bigger. Squish it in. Yep, we can squish it in before she comes.
Before she comes. All right. Well, I've talked a lot about Barbie. You seem less enthusiastic about
it. Oh, I loved Barbie when I was a kid.
But are you excited to see the movie?
Sure. I'll see it.
You'll see it.
I've watched the trailers.
Okay.
That look interesting.
Are you excited about Oppenheimer?
Excited is the wrong word.
Will you see it?
I will see it, for sure.
Will you see both in theaters?
Probably.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm excited for movies, even though with the SAG and the striking and everything. But there's been so much buildup for both of these movies, and both have pretty good reviews. Oppenheimer has better reviews so far. But it's also Christopher Nolan, who's just probably arguably one of the best directors alive right now. But also, I think you probably leave the theater with a very different feeling.
Oh, there's no doubt
from
about
one versus the other.
Which is why I will probably like Oppenheimer more.
There you go.
Right? Yes.
But I'm excited for both. I'll probably try to go see both next week. I'm excited to see what kind of turnout these movies get. Because, I mean, the joke has been, at least the online joke has been, this Barbenheimer, because it's, could you have two more conflicting movies?
Oh, right.
That had this much hype around them opening on the same weekend, so much so that there's something like thousands of movie theaters that are offering double features of both.
Oh, wow.
And so I that's what I'm also excited to see is like how many people are out there are so excited to see both of these movies, despite how drastically different they are and how different you feel like
after their
target audience would be.
And maybe go see Oppenheimer first and then go see Barbie so you can leave on a slightly higher note. How about that?
That's an interesting question of which one, if you're going to see both, which order do you see them in?
I think that would be the way to go.
I can see that. I can see that argument. All right. Well, we're very excited. When we come back after the break, we're going to be talking to UW professor Christine Whalen, who is a clinical professor of consumer science at the School of Human Ecology, and talking about just what Barbie has meant to our culture. And I think, you know, just truly, she's kind of been this, like, in some ways, like a feminist icon, but also not, because, you know, unrealistic body image and all of those fun things. So I'm so excited to talk to her when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Stick around.
The best is yet to come.
Come the day you're mine.
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 This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Town Call.
On WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Morgan Norwood. A date's now set for former President Donald Trump to stand trial on charges he mishandled classified documents. A court filing shows it'll be May 20th of next year at federal court in Fort Pierce, Florida. Trump still faces a possible indictment after receiving a target letter in the investigation into his role on January 6th.
Sources tell ABC News that in that target letter, three federal crimes were mentioned as possible charges against Trump. Conspiracy to commit an offense against or to defraud the United States, obstruction of an official proceeding, and conspiracy to deprive people of rights. That's a civil rights statute that the Justice Department manual for prosecutors says, quote, should be considered when addressing schemes to thwart voting in federal elections.
ABC's Terry Moran. The State Department confirming two high-level officials, the U.S. ambassador to China and the assistant secretary for East Asia, had their email breached by Chinese hackers, but no classified material was believed to be stolen. This is ABC News.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what Green Bay needs to know.
Green Bay police are investigating the death of a 2-year-old child. Authorities were called to Green Bay's east side about 3:30 yesterday afternoon to the 600 block of South Irwin Avenue. They arrived to find the child unconscious. First responders tried to perform CPR but were unsuccessful. The child was taken to the hospital and pronounced dead. Anyone that might have information on the case is being asked to contact the Green Bay Police Department.
For this weekend, Oshkosh is the busiest airport in the world. EAA celebrates its 70th with hundreds of thousands of its closest friends from all over the world. It officially starts Monday, but try telling that to the people already there. The event has been in Oshkosh since 1970 after moving from Rockford, Illinois. While you're checking out the skies, look for Mino and the Mayor from the Talk of Green Bay Morning Show, broadcasting live starting at 6 a.m. Have fun.
Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
So much waiting for me. Yeah, I
wanna
go outside. I
wanna
be.
We're
here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature. DiscoverTheForest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
She gets too hungry for dinner at 8.
I'm starving.
She loves the theater, but she never comes late.
Bother with people that I hate. That's why this chick is a tramp.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And Jane, did you know that Barbie is from Wisconsin?
I knew that there was a Wisconsin connection.
Well, the fictional character is from the fictional town of Willows, Wisconsin, unlike the American Girls, which were originally made in Wisconsin. But yes, so Wisconsin has deep roots with Barbie, and we're so excited to see Barbie. I'm very, very excited to see Barbie, and I'm also excited to talk about the movie with Professor Christine Whelan, who is a clinical professor of consumer science in the School of Human Ecology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And we actually got to meet in person a couple weeks ago, and then we talked about this exact topic, and I was like, come on the show, let's talk Barbie, and what a great Friday topic it is. So how are you, Professor?
I'm doing really well. It's so good to be on.
So you've been making the rounds talking about this, which is so funny because what, as a professor of consumer science and human ecology, like How does this fit? How does the idea of the movie Barbie and Barbie as a product fit into what you have done your career on?
So I study the self-help industry and the advice industry, the wellness industry, and how we basically try to spend our money to maximize our happiness. And a character like Barbie, a doll like Barbie, is really interesting because it's a consumer product, mm-hmm. right? Parents buy this doll for their children. But it's also so much more. Barbie is the sort of vessel for our hopes and optimism about the future, right? You know, so little girls and boys play with dolls as a way of acting out who they want to be and what they want to do in the world, or some of the difficult feelings that they're having right now. So yes, it's a consumer good, but it's also this idea of self-help and who you want to be and where you want to go. So Barbie is totally right in my wheelhouse. I even wore a Barbie pink for this interview.
I was going to say, for the people who are watching the live stream, you understood the assignment.
Oh, totally. I mean, this has been so fun. I'm taking my kids to see it tomorrow morning.
Okay.
But in the meantime, I have so many thoughts about this run-up.
So let's hear more about, like, what have your thoughts been as far as, first, the marketing has been, the Supreme has kind of been the topic of the theme of today, but it's been unbelievable what the marketing team has done for this movie up until, obviously, the SAG actors are now not doing that, but they had a good run.
So Barbie and that Barbie pink is so iconic in America that I've seen billboards that are just the color pink. Like, they don't even have to have words anymore. Right. So just that color evokes Barbie for us. And this is true even for people who did not play with Barbie dolls as kids. We just know that Barbie equals pink. And what's so interesting about Barbie is that we've had a love-hate relationship with her since her inception or birth in Willows, Wisconsin. So when Mattel made Barbie, people thought, oh, who really needs another doll? And this was sort of in the post-World War II consumer boom. But it was also a time when we wanted to sort of see a better and brighter future for our country and for ourselves. So the idea that Barbie is from Willows, Wisconsin, she's like the every woman, the every girl. And then she can go to Malibu and drive in her convertible and have her dream house. So it had this idea that women could do anything. We could be anything. Barbie was a president. Barbie was a CEO. Barbie was an astronaut. We could dress up Barbie as anything. So one angle on Barbie is a lot about optimism and about materialism and the consumer culture. Of course, anytime that we have something like that, we love to hate it. So the other angle on Barbie is this chick can't stand on her own 2 feet. I mean, her arches are so high that
her proportions.
She literally cannot stand.
Yeah, literally would not be able to stand a real woman with those proportions.
And she would fall over because her bust to hip to waist ratio is all off. So feminist theory on Barbie is not very positive. Right. So it's a concern that we are having an unrealistic body image for women and girls, that we are suggesting that women can't stand on their own 2 feet, no matter how you dress them. All of these sorts of concerns have been raised over the years. At the same time, it's actually very interesting. One of the reasons why Barbie is so successful with kids potentially is because she can't stand on her own 2 feet. What that does is it makes the child have to be involved in the play. So then the kid herself or himself has to be engaged with the character. It's not static. It's active. It's play acting. So, you know, over the years, I have done many interviews about Barbie. And I have to actually just tell you live on air the most hilarious and horrendous one I did. Because it's been long enough now that I think I can tell the story. So somebody, I was in Pittsburgh more than a decade ago. Somebody called me to ask me about the new Barbie outfit or whatever it was. It was late in the day. I was not really paying attention. I had been doing a lot of other things. So instead of having an appropriate quote, this reporter got my unfiltered response, which was, it doesn't matter what Barbie wears. She's going to end up naked with her head off in the bathtub anyway, like all these dolls do. That went in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, folks. And I thought I was going to be fired on the spot. I was like, oh man, I really need to be more careful about this.
Whoops.
But right? I mean, this is the thing about Barbie. I mean, I can like weave a whole story for you about the cultural significance and this and that, but kids play with dolls in all sorts of ways. You wrap them up in toilet paper, you throw them in the...
You hang them up by their feet, you cut their hair, you draw on them.
So, you know, all of this needs to be taken with a grain of salt. And yet, for parents who are going to be taking their kids to the Barbie movie this weekend, there's tons of nostalgia. There is tons of excitement. And for the theater industry, for the movie theater companies who are actually getting butts in seats this weekend, for Mattel, for the producers of this movie, and for all of the companies that have glommed on for the ride, this is really going to be a consumer boom.
Absolutely. We're talking to Christine Whelan, who is a clinical professor of consumer science at the School of Human Ecology at UW-Madison, Wisconsin. So going back to what you said as far as the putting into context when Barbie first came out, because like you said, it's like Barbie came out and she could do all of these things. She could buy her dream house. She could be president. All these. But this was at a time like, and like, I didn't grow up with that Barbie, right? Because like I was born in the 80s. And so there was already actual ability to do anything. But like my mom, there's a great story about my mom. The first time she got a Barbie, her dad owned a toy store. All of her accessories got lost in Santa's bag because it was the display model that she got for Christmas. But you think about it, when my mom was six and got a Barbie, women couldn't have a bank account. Women weren't buying their own homes. Women didn't have credit cards. And so with feminist theory, as far as the proportions of what Barbie looks like, but also as a doll who could do anything at a time that girls and women could not, is like, I think sometimes we lose sight of how revolutionary it was.
Absolutely. Really, Barbie was ahead of her times in a lot of ways. And she was paving the way because little girls didn't know yet what they could and could not do. So if Barbie could do it, then it normalizes it. And so, yes, she really was revolutionary in that way. And the fact that she was from Willows, Wisconsin, and doing that is also, I think, really significant, right? She is the every girl. She's coming from the Midwest heartland, and she's going on to do all this stuff. One of the things that I love about the Barbie dream house is that she and Ken do not co-own it. That is all Barbie. It is only her name on the deed. She is all about this.
Well, and so that's also what I think, at least what it seems like a lot of what the movie's going to explore is, Ken is this like total secondary character in the Barbie narrative of like, unlike the real world where often women are accessories to men and their successes, mm-hmm. and they're the main story, and then it's their wives or their girlfriends or whatever. It's like all of the Kens don't have like, I think you can gather from some of the trailers, I haven't seen it yet, are accessories to Barbie.
They're himbos.
Yeah.
And very cute himbos.
Very cute.
So, you know, right, exactly. So now we have male eye candy. Now men as an accessory. So this is why this movie actually is going to really fit in at the right time for our culture as well, right? Because it's this explosion of pink, this explosion of women's empowerment. And rather than this idea of being meek and mild and girly, this is, or even rather than an explosion of, I have to dress a certain way to be admitted into the C-suite and to be as equal to men. This is Barbie saying, I'm pink, I'm fabulous. He's my accessory. Let's go, girls.
I'm so excited for this. So are you surprised, as far as someone who's been talking, like you said, 10 years ago, you were giving quotes about Barbie. Are you surprised it took this long to make a Barbie movie? There's been movies made for kids that stars Barbie. There's been video games. There's been so many consumer products that are Barbie themed. But I think this is like the first major narrative film about Barbie, which is surprising, right?
It is surprising. It's also really fitting for our time right now because we have parents who are very nostalgic, right? So we have parents who have disposable income and who have nostalgia for their own childhood and want to relive it in a way that I don't know that we were really sort of culturally programmed to do in previous generations. We were sort of putting the past aside in previous generations, but now we have us parents who just took our kids to Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, yeah, the Judy Blume movie. And we've shared everything from the My Little Ponies had their own show and a remix. I saw my kids watching Thundercats. I was like, wait, what? So so all of these things of our 80s and 90s childhoods are really turning into money makers. So I think, yes, this is why the idea of a sort of nod to the past, but also a nod to the future and a sort of real entrenching of the Barbie brand into the next generation. It's a pretty smart move.
That is really, that's super interesting. It makes me immediately think my husband's really into sports cards and he's hosted now two sports card shows. And like, so much of what brings him joy when he sees it is mostly fathers there with their kids. And like, it is like the tradition of like, I was super into sports cards and now you're super into sports cards and we can go to these events together and we can make a YouTube video, videos. Yeah. Like the bonding of it, of like that, like nostalgia for it that gives you a connection to your kids.
This is really important, but this is also really savvy consumerism. This is a great way to build the brand, to continue to have new customers, and then also to bring Barbie into the future as a whole new look. I don't think this is necessarily going to be a syrupy sweet movie. It'll be interesting to mm-hmm. see where the edges are and how it makes comments about our current culture.
Absolutely, especially because Greta Gerwig is sure known for that. Well, with the 2 minutes that we have left, I know we also mentioned before you came on that the other side of this coin this weekend is Oppenheimer, which is going to be excellent, but I imagine a little darker.
Yes. So I think this combination, I'm not sure if it was intentional, but it really, I think, says a lot about our American nostalgia for World War II and the World War II period. And not necessarily always in a positive way, right? It was a time of fear, right? In a nuclear yeah. era. And then also potentially optimistic consumerism and consumer culture. So we have kind of both all in one. And what I've heard, the recommendation is watch Oppenheimer first with a black coffee in hand, and then pour some pink champagne and rock right into the Barbie movie.
There you go. That sounds like an excellent, excellent weekend. All right, Christine, thank you so much for spending time with us. We'll definitely have you back to talk about more happiness, self-help, consumerism. This was wonderful.
So great to be on. Have a great weekend.
You too. All right, we're going to take one more break, and when we come back, we will wrap up today's show. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Life without care.
Fuck it up, but I'm so broke.
That's so. Hates California. It's cold and it's damp. That's why the lady is a tramp.
Living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734.
Consumers everywhere are rediscovering the benefits of buying locally produced food. Not only is it fresher, tastier, and more nutritious, it's also good for the local economy. And did you know the Village Hearth and Artisan Hearth hamburger and hot dog buns and rolls you love are baked right here in the Midwest? With the state-of-the-art bakeries and facilities throughout the Midwest, freshly baked buns and rolls are delivered fresh every day to your neighborhood grocers. Village Hearth and Artisan Hearth buns and rolls, locally baked, delivered fresh daily.
Test your home for radon. Radon causes lung cancer, and half the homes in Green Bay test high. Request a free tester at newradon.com. newradon.com. Get a free test kit now. Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albus Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albus Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy skies this afternoon with a slight chance for scattered storms. High of 82. Northeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms again tonight. Lows around 58. Partly cloudy. Chance for scattered storms tomorrow. Highs level off around 82. A mix of clouds and sun. Low 80s Sunday with a chance for scattered storms. Mid 80s. Partly cloudy skies Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 80.
This summer, 5090 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Starting at 6 AM, the Mayor and Mino.
Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show.
On WGBW.
Gray skies are gonna clear up. Put on a happy face.
Brush off those clouds and cheer up.
You get it.
Put on a happy face.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madinaire. And we are rounding out today's Friday episode of As Goes Wisconsin. And as a reminder for all things Barbie, the Barbie Truck Dreamhouse Living Tour is going to stop at Mayfair Mall on Saturday. And so if you're looking for something to take your little ones to, the 2023 Barbie Truck Dreamhouse is going to be at the Mayfair Mall. And so some of Barbie's items for sale will include T-shirts, hoodies, denim jackets, baseball caps, throw blankets, totes,
you name it.
Sets, lots of merch. But do we have someone on the line who wants to tell a Barbie story?
We do, Debbie Bry.
Hi, Mom.
Good morning, Deb.
Hello, hello. I love today's show because I loved Barbie, and Kristen, you loved Barbie. And you may have forgotten, I heard your discussion about the electric cars and your desire for one. You probably don't remember that you were pushing for an electric car when you were about 3.5 years old, maybe 4. And you so wanted to get the Barbie, that electric Barbie dream car. And my response to you was, what on earth would you do with that car? And your response to me, your mother, was, well, I'd drive it to the club. And I knew at that point that you were going places in your life. You didn't get the car.
So I did
good
not.
Good luck if you think about getting an electric one now.
Every time I see one of those little cars for a kid, I'm always like, man, they never got me one of those.
Oh, those things that stick with you.
No, but I still, your Barbie's.
Yeah, it was.
Go ahead, Bob.
I'm sorry. Oh, I was going to say, when the reason you needed it was to drive to the club, that was the end of it. There was no going in that direction.
Could you imagine me just like in the streets of our neighborhood, just like
terrorizing the neighbors,
putting along in my little pink car, trying to get to the pool?
Yeah, you would have had a pink bow in your hair though, too, you know, so that would have been good.
That is fair.
Okay, you guys have a great weekend.
Love you, Mom.
Take care. Thanks.
I don't remember asking for, I remember wanting the car. I don't remember ever saying specifically, where would you drive this to? The club, of course. Instead of riding my bike, I would take this little plastic electric car.
Wouldn't everyone?
At 3.
Right. Mark from the SAC checking in. You can always send us a text to or call 844-967-2789. Mark says, I will see the Barbie movie when I get a chance, if only to give a huge middle finger to all the right-wingers having a meltdown over it. Sounds like a fun movie, and I can't help thinking of the song by Aqua, which is Barbie Girl. Which I considered today, but again, this has all been a tribute to Tony Bennett, who we lost at the age of 96.
Yeah. I don't actually understand why right-wingers are hating this movie so much.
Well, I think it's because, I don't, who knows?
Because they need to be angry about
or
something?
There's, you know, Barbie is a Satan worshiper. Who knows?
What did,
Maybe they don't like being, maybe they don't like Ken being a himbo. Ken being the accessory, who knows?
Because I know Matt Gaetz's wife, I don't even know what her name is. I think she called it like low tea, like Ken's very low, like low, meaning like low testosterone.
Right.
Or beta or something like that. And I don't know.
We're going to go see it anyway, eventually. And there was a text from a texter from the 414. We were talking about the Waukesha Farmers Market, which is tomorrow from 8 to noon, and I will be there. Please stop by and say hello. Needed the address. So the Waukesha Farmers Market is at 125 West St. Paul, right in downtown Waukesha. It's in the parking lot of a bank.
Yeah, so it's St. Paul Avenue and Madison, between St. Paul and Madison Avenue is the cross streets.
Yeah, so come by tomorrow again, 8 until noon.
Get a scone.
Get a life-changing bacon and maple scone. I can't push that. I'm going to be a pusher
now. How many are you
going
to eat tomorrow?
Probably just one. Okay. But I might buy, like, how long do scones keep?
A day? I mean, a pastry. So how long do pastries? I mean, unless you take it home, freeze it.
I don't know that scones freeze well. I'll get one.
You'll get one.
Because there's all kinds of wonderful things to eat there.
I was going to say, is there anything that you're going to be trying for the first time?
There are a couple different food trucks that I haven't hit up yet, and there's a lot of stuff there. And we are in contact with the organizers to find out if there are open spaces or whatever, and this weekend is just about full.
Oh, so it's not like, how does it work? You probably don't know this, but I'm asking in general, of like the vendor organization of like, do you have to sign up for like your slot for the year? Do you pick weekends? Like, how does like the organizing of that work?
That I am not quite sure of.
Because you'd think it would just be the same people every weekend, but it sounds like not so much.
Well, and there are different farmers markets all over the place, so maybe some of these people travel as well.
What's in season right now?
That's a very good. I'll tell you after tomorrow.
Tell me tomorrow. Tell me all the things that you buy tomorrow.
I will.
But this has been a super fun show. But it was. I loved this coming from Up North News this morning. I was reading their newsletter for the day, and they were saying they tried to rank the most quote Wisconsin dolls on the market for Barbie. I don't know how Wisconsin these are, but you know they tried, and these are all real Barbies that you can. Either were once made or still made. So there is basketball Barbie. Who is made with 22 joints. So she can... I had a gymnast Barbie once. So it's
really?
Like, instead of everything being static, it's like their ankles can move and their knees can move. And so she can actually like do things.
Right.
And so there's basketball Barbie. There's eco-minded Barbie, which... Barbie Eco Leadership Team 2022 Career of the Year 4 doll set.
What is she wearing?
So it's four different ones.
Oh.
And one's in like a construction suit. One's in like a green, like conservation type outfit. I don't know what this one, why that one's. And then one's in like a suit. Let's see. There's Politician Barbie, which was released ahead of the 2020 election. There's Chicken Farmer Barbie.
Hey, now that's Wisconsin.
Live Love Farm is the outfit, the t-shirt that she wears, and she comes with her own chicken coop playset.
She's not living on it's a communal chicken farm.
And then there is also our Orchard Farm Barbie.
I love it.
And she's in overalls, rain boots, and comes with her own little vegetable bucket.
Nice.
And I will say kudos to the... digital team or the social media team for Governor Gretchen Whitmer. She had an entire thread of Gretchen Whitmer Barbie doing things in Michigan's capital.
That's really funny.
It was pretty smart and pretty great. So go have fun. Like we said, maybe Oppenheimer first,
yeah.
Barbie second,
yeah.
Black coffee, pink champagne. If you see it, feel free to shoot us an email and tell us how much you liked it at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. As always, thank you for texting. Thank you for calling. Thank you to Christine Whelan, Greg Nament, and of course, Dom Salvia for joining the show today. We'll be back on Monday. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
Happy thing. You did it.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming ABC on the News, Civic Media app.